I'm Melissa White, and this is The Spirit Room. This is a place for seekers that find themselves intrigued with working with the unseen world. I'll bring you insight into my life and work as a medium, interviews with people that I find fascinating, and also provide you with some tools to help you implement a beautiful life in partnership with spirit. So I invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy what spirit has in store for us. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Spirit Room podcast. I'm Melissa White, and host, and I'm so looking forward to sharing with you today. I have a beautiful guest. Her name is Erica Antonetti, and she is a certified hypnotherapist, a success coach, psychic medium from Northern California. And this is a lady who's dedicated to teaching creative women all around the globe with hearts as big as their dreams how to transform their lives to be the next example of what's possible. So, I mean, phenomenal, phenomenal energy. And it's such a pleasure to welcome you. So thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I was trying to think, I don't even know. It must be 5-6 years ago, we met in a mentorship class that we were both taking. So it's wonderful to reconnect and to get a chance to chat with you and share about what you've been up to and the work that you're doing, because I find that it's pretty transformational for people. And so can't wait to talk about it.
Yes, thank you so much.
Good. So tell us, how did you first become aware of your spiritual connection?
Mm-hmm. So I always knew from a really young age that we were in some sort of simulation, even though I didn't have words for it. Mm-hmm. I have a memory of like darkness where communication was happening, but I don't, like, there weren't eyes to see with or voices to hear. The memory is literally black. But I could like hear voices through my clairaudience. So it's really hard to put a knowing this knowing into words. So I don't really talk about it much. Mm-hmm. But there was a moment, I'm guessing around 4 to 5 years old, that I looked at my own hand and I thought, wow, it looks so real. It feels so real. This is the best trick ever pulled off.
Wow.
So knowing what I know now, I've tracked down that children move through several levels of self-awareness between the ages of 1 to 5 years old. And I'm assuming that this is where I became aware of myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a pretty powerful realization, you know, to have that and to have that memory of it.
Yeah. So then my abilities would continue to reveal themselves on different levels all throughout my life, from being able to see my grandfather's mother at the breakfast table before I was 10 years old, to having my first deja vu experience while watching a movie with my mom and knowing what would happen next because I'd had a dream about it. My mother was really open to reading the astrology in the newspaper, so it was very common in our home to believe in something greater than ourselves, ghost stories, the continued existence of life after death. And then as I got older, it would just continue to open itself to and reveal itself to me through experiences. So I was really interested in tarot cards. I got my first tarot deck at 14. Still have that deck to this day because it's so sentimental to me.
Yeah.
But I lost that deck and then it ended up coming back to me like 10 years later. My mother had it in a box somewhere. So I was like, I'm taking this home. But then from the ages of 9 to 15, my abilities were really opened up to me mystically, mm-hmm. in a way that made it hard to ignore. I was very frightened by it. I ended up dreaming of someone that I loved very much being killed during a daytime nap in the summertime, and he ended up being murdered about 4 hours later.
Wow.
So I get a lot of spiritual information through my dreams, like precognitive information. Mm-hmm. And then once I experienced the grief and the trauma of losing someone that I love so much, things kind of got really weird. I was metaphorically running from all of it while simultaneously running toward it.
Yes. I can relate to that, actually. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm a Scorpio. I'm a 5 placement Scorpio with a stellium in my 12th house of spirituality. And so what that means is Scorpio being the ruler of transformation, the cycle of death and rebirth, and being in the 12th house, that's a connection to the unseen world. That's a gift, a connection to God. Mm-hmm. And I have all those planets in the house. And I ended up, you know, being so Scorpio, I was fascinated by death. And then I had gone through this loss and this grief, and I just didn't understand. And so I just didn't understand how or why such a deep connection could just suddenly be severed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I always say that me and my loved one decided to meet each other halfway to continue loving and learning from one another. And it would take me 25 years to heal the grief and get to a place of peace where I not only no longer felt the loss of his presence, but actually feel peaceful, accepting, and even happy for him as he continues on his soul journey and I continue on mine. Knowing that the love was real, the support is ever available, and we will meet up again at some point in the cosmos.
Definitely. And that's good for people to know, because I think sometimes people think that if we have this connection to spirit and the ability to communicate with spirit, that we must somehow not grieve as much or not grieve as hard. And I think that we really do. And because we feel things so deeply, mm-hmm. It's intense and it can take a long time. It's not something that I think is easily worked through. I think it can be, in some cases, it's a lifelong journey.
Yes, definitely.
So that's amazing. So you were able to kind of, come to a place of peace with that. Mm-hmm. And I know that you also have experience in the military. So I wonder how that really shaped you and what you learned about yourself through that experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, my military experience was much like all of life. It's about 50% terrible and 50% amazing.
Right. That for sure.
My husband is retiring soon, mm-hmm. After 22 years of service, and it is a lifestyle that takes a lot, but it also gives a lot if you look for the blessings. So it built me mentally in a time when I really needed to learn to believe in myself, and the military is all about environmental hypnosis. It will brainwash you into believing that you're superhuman, mm-hmm. and because of that, you are. You do superhuman things that many people cannot do or are not willing to do. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side of that, it also taught me that when we go too far to the side of hyper alertness, overthinking, shoving down emotions, that imbalances get created in a really big way. So it taught me the value of hard labor, preparedness, teamwork, grit and determination that it takes to reach any goal, and also attention to the detail in such a way that I'd never known before. I definitely took that with me into my spirituality studies and my business endeavors. In mediumship, I find myself receiving comments from sitters about certain details that have never been shared before, or they will tell me that I brought through someone that they've always wanted to come through, but has never come up in a reading before. And I just attribute that to my attention to detail and the intentions that I set for my readings to serve at the highest level.
Definitely. Well, and all of those, all of those things that that you would have learned and taken from the military, I could see how that would be such amazing skills to be able to translate into, what you're doing and how you're working with people. Was it difficult in a way with your sensitivity to energy or your, all of these intuitive and psychic kind of faculties, like your experience through the military? Was that something that you were quite aware of as you were going through your training and as you were working?
It's so interesting. I look at that time in my life as I had come out of a really tough first marriage and still had a lot of unhealed trauma at that point. And so that was a time in my life where I was really focusing on my masculine energy and sort of this earthly energy that's so grounded. And it was literally like my boots on the ground time. And so a lot of it was stuffed. That was when I was so masculine, almost toxic masculinity, where I still had like a lot of my intuition was coming through in my dreams. And I still had like a connection to my wingmen, you know, my girlfriends. I was not really feeling my feelings at that point. Right. And when I focused on my mediumship, that really helped me to tap into my feminine energy and really focus on my emotions and my sensitivity. And then when I would go into hypnotherapy, that would help me to really process the trauma.
Perfect.
So it was all a balancing act.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. And I totally know what you're saying about going too far one way or the other. Because from my experience, I've met lots of people that I read for who are very, very much in the masculine energy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and in some ways, almost going to that place that you're talking about with the overthinking and the analyzing and the hypervigilance. But then there's also the flip side of that, which is when you're so far into the intuitive or so far into the receptive and that divine feminine energy, where it's almost so floaty and watery that there's no grounding. You know, there's a feeling of just floating through life. And so I would say, yes, so many people, that is what we're looking for, is that beautiful balance between the two, where you are grounded, but you're also open and receptive. You know,
absolutely.
So I can see that for sure. And I think too, you know, that dedication that would be required of you to go through the training that you've done, amazing. You know, so that's something that no matter what area of life you're working in, you'll always have that. You know, you'll always take that with you. So I think that's something to be very proud of.
Yes, thank you.
What about the hypnotherapy? Because I know this is a really big passion for you. How did you become interested in that?
Mm-hmm. So I say accidentally, but I don't believe in accidents, accidentally drawn into hypnotherapy in 2012. And even at that point, I was aware of it, but I didn't act on it. After the military, I went back to cosmetology school to finish what I had started before I went into the service. And that had been interrupted by getting out of my first marriage. I had finished cosmetology school and I was looking for what's next on my journey. And I ended up coming across HMI, College of Hypnotherapy in Los Angeles, on the internet. I had, due to my husband's service, we had been relocated to LA, and I had just gotten serious about meditating as a means to heal and connect with my spiritual self. And I talked myself out of it. And instead, I went to college for business and entrepreneurship to learn how to run my own hair salon. I was raised in a family where my mother was a business owner. So I knew that I was a natural leader and would eventually have something to contribute through my own business. So during that time, another level of awakening happened. I began to take my awareness to spirit more seriously. I was going on to take spiritual development classes with my mentor, Tina Saley, who I would later find out was a hypnotherapist. Right. And long story short, I met people in LA, about 60 of them, who would always come up and tell me later in our relationship that they were certified in hypnotherapy. And I still wasn't interested due to all the psychic development work I was immersed in, until another military spouse and friend of mine asked me, "Hey, what do you think about this school? And would you go with me for support? I want to check it out." And it was HMI. And I signed up that day and she didn't. And she would go on later to sign up the following year. So we were sad that we didn't get to go through school together, but it's okay. We both eventually went through it. And it was great. I went because I was so analytical and I was doing all this mediumship mentorship. I was learning from the greats, but it always kept coming back to like, but how does this happen? I want to know the mechanics of the mind and behavior. I want to know how the mind works. I want to know, like, where does the doorway live between this world and that one? And it was really a year of exploring my own personal development even deeper. So this place, this College of Hypnotherapy, it is the Hogwarts of America, where I learned absolute magic to heal the traumatized parts of myself.
Wow. Wow. I mean, I love it because I think that I really relate to that wanting to know how and why, you know, wanting to understand, because there's many things that we learn to do within regards to our mediumship, but we don't always know why, and we don't really know how it works. We just know that it does and we do it, and it can be so like healing and miraculous. But there's many times when I'm sitting there and I'm like, I would love to know like more. I wish there was more research into the actual mind of the medium. You know, that's something that it's fascinating to me. So this appeals to me. I understand why you would have that curiosity about, you know, delving deeper, you know, into all of that. So that's amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
And so what is the process like? Like, I mean, lots of my listeners will have some idea, but I think there's also some misconceptions sometimes about what hypnotherapy is actually about. So can you explain to us what it's about and really what kinds of things that hypnotherapy can actually help us with?
For sure. So the process is really gentle and easy and relaxing. That's kind of what I love about it, because you may be moving, doing some heavy lifting, moving big emotional stuff, but it doesn't feel like a trauma trigger. It doesn't feel so. I mean, I've been in mediumship classes before where I've been triggered and have to leave and go do the work, you know, work through that outside of the classroom setting. So hypnotherapy makes development work feel like you've hit the easy button from Staples. Hypnotic states are very common, very natural. Each one of us goes through them several times a day. So it doesn't feel like anything weird because we're also well practiced in it. You don't go to sleep. You don't go unconscious. I know I used to, I remember when I was first going into hypnotherapy, I was terrified they were going to have me spill all my secrets. And all my, you know, I'm a Scorpio. I've got secrets. Like, we keep everybody's secrets. They want to tell us all the things. They trust us. So I was like, I don't know what they're going to do. But what I realized is like, you're fully conscious. You're hearing your hypnotherapist. You're making decisions in the moment and actively being a participant with the work that you're doing. To me, it's like, it's meditation with a purpose.
Right.
So it's not emptying the mind for spiritual enlightenment. It is, I have a purpose and I'm actively using my mindset to work through this. It's with a goal. And with clinical hypnosis, it's a very therapeutic technique to overcome any challenges and really create more of a life that you're excited to experience.
Beautiful. So it's fair to say that really you could, there's many different ways that you could use it or reasons that you might seek hypnotherapy.
Absolutely. Hypnotherapy can be used for a variety of physical, mental, and emotional issues that humans run into as obstacles. I have had clients who use it for everything from infertility. We've got at least 3 babies on the planet right now that were not here before they did hypnosis.
Right.
childbirth, spiritual development. I use hypnosis when I'm teaching my psychic mediumship development students. I use it for public speaking. I have helped my clients do consistent writing and marketing in their businesses, making money, healing heartbreak and grief from divorce, death, disappointments. You know, the common things we can use it for, like stop smoking, weight loss. I have even hypnotized my husband to stop wanting sugary baked foods.
Wow. That's a powerful craving.
Yes. There are I have a list of 146 ways that therapy can help a person in business, finances, career, relationships, and personal development.
Wow. Well, I do think it makes sense. You know, it makes sense that if you want to create big changes and you want to, you know, experience that, you do have to go deeper than just the human physical world, what's right in front of you, you know? So to me, it makes perfect sense. And I think you and I have chatted before a little bit about the fact that it's necessary that we look at all different ways of healing, all different modalities. And I've noticed in the mediumship community at times that we do a little bit of a disservice sometimes to people, because in some ways I find sometimes, not always, but there has been this idea or this energy that I've experience where people think that mediumship is like the thing. It's like the only way. And it's like the, you know, if you're a medium and you're working as a medium, it's like, this is the top of the top. And I actually feel like there are so many different ways that people can find healing. And I don't believe in a hierarchy. And I don't believe that one is better than the other or more powerful or whatever. I think that it's really dependent upon the person's soul and what is required for them, but also that we can find powerful healing in so many different ways. So it's not just one thing, you know? So I love exploring, looking at other ways that people are working and just coming to that place of bringing people back to themselves, you know, bringing them back into their own power and having a role in their life, like taking charge of their own healing, not feeling like they have to run out to someone to receive some kind of healing, you know, but actually realizing, wow, like, in my opinion, a true healer is going to always bring you back to yourself, you know, always show you that you actually do have that power within you.
Absolutely. I love that. Yes, it is a blend. And I really resonate with what you said about, you know, it's like there's not just one way, and that's the true facilitator, is knowing who you're talking to, who you're working with, and like what best will suit them. There have been many times that I have had clients come in and I knew that what they really needed was a therapist. They really needed the deeper help with what they were dealing with. Or sometimes they're really into healing in a different way. Like, for instance, I am certified in Reiki, and, you know, people have said, oh my goodness, your hands get so hot, but it didn't really gel for me. I am stronger with my words and, you know, through the hypnosis and the mediumship, like my senses of communication are stronger than with like my physical healing abilities. So while they may have received something powerful from it, and I was happy to serve in that way, I realized very quickly, like, no, I'm not Reiki's not really my thing, you know, and I'll have to refer you out.
Yes. Yeah. I'm the same way. And it's true. There's lots of times where I'll be like, okay, you know, either this is something different that they need, or if I'm able to provide it, I have to adjust and actually focus on how best to serve that person in that moment, you know? So maybe it is through this type of reading or that kind of reading, or working in a different way that's going to be, you know, the most beneficial for them. But I had the same experience with Reiki. I took it early on in my development and the first level and the second level. And although it was helpful and it was certainly interesting. And I definitely enjoyed the experience. It just, I realized, oh, wait a minute, this is not my way. This is not how my soul really wants to express itself. Mm-hmm. There's other ways, and it's definitely through the spoken word seems to be literally what I do. But also, you know, there's times when yes, we are called upon, and we'll definitely use those abilities. But yeah, it is so interesting to look at that and just see, no, it depends what's right for you, and also what's needed.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So that's so interesting. What about your philosophy around coaching and healing? Like what would you say about that?
Mm-hmm. So my philosophy on coaching and healing is that each of us, it is our responsibility. And I'm going to give you guys a resource here, make a reference to Byron Katie. If you don't know her work, look up her work. It is our responsibility of each of us to do the work. So Byron Katie created the work. And while I believe that no one is an island, we did come here to connect with each other and support and have community. The balance to that is that we must each be willing and courageous and responsible for doing it for ourselves first. No one else is going to do it for us. No one's going to chase us down and tell us that we need to heal. And when we get in relationships, it's going to come out that if we're giving our power away to someone or if we're taking responsibility for our own healing. And so this is why I named my practice EA Coaching and Hypnotherapy, because the initials spell each, to remind my clients and myself that it's our work to do for ourselves. This is also why I pivoted more into hypnotherapy and coaching to help and serve people who are suffering through grief and who are wanting to learn more to, you know, overcome obstacles or get closer to their own spirituality, because I did not want to necessarily do the work for them through psychic mediumship anymore. I love that we have psychic mediums out there. We need psychic mediums. They are a wonderful asset to the world, especially if you haven't learned how to connect to yourself, or if you're questioning if this is even possible, or you're questioning what happens once we die. But what I found was, for me, is that so many of my clients would walk out of the door feeling better that they had communication with their loved ones, but still suffering from the loss of not knowing how to deal with their own grief once they left my office. So I put my focus into helping those who are still on earth trying to navigate their way through the emotions and the setbacks, because one of our military values is that no one is left behind. And that's my mission that I, you know, it's so interesting because when we're in psychic medium development classes, we'll hear our mentor say, you know, you'll take these classes and some of you will go on to be amazing mediums. And then some of you will go on to be amazing authors and write books about it. And some of you, you know, we'll all go on and do different things. And I think for me, it was to be that teacher, that facilitator for the grief work being done here on earth.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And there's such a need for it, and especially a need for it from your perspective, your point of view as somebody who has those abilities, you know, intimately and on a very deep level, grief, you know, and also the communication between you and the spirit world. So there is this unique perspective that I think makes a difference for sure. And yeah. So the people that need that particular energy will, of course, be naturally drawn to work with you. Mm-hmm. And I see that too. You know, I find with myself, I think this is part of the reason why we resonate with each other, is that I think about that a lot, that a lot of people find me for the communication with spirit. Like, they just want mediumship, and that's all good, and I'm happy to provide that and do it. but my actual soul and my heart is like, oh wait, but there's more. Like, this is like the beginning. This is the beginning point, but there's so much more that we can discover together. And there's so much more work that we can do, because the common theme I find from people's loved ones in spirit is that they want us to live this life to its fullest potential. They want us to live in the best way that we can. And I think to do that, we also have to look at tools, you know, like what our experiences, that's something that we can use, but also we need to learn and grow and develop our own set of tools that we can look at and put into place and implement when we're going through grief, loss, disappointment, illness, any of those things, dark night of the soul, spiritual awakening. You know, we need to have some resources that we can count on. And I totally agree with you that it is up to each individual. And I think lots of times people do expect, not only from us, not only from mediums and intuitives and psychics and healers, but I think even from counselors and therapists and anybody that's really in the healing profession, you could even say with doctors and stuff too. Sometimes the expectation is that we go to these people and we're just expecting them to do it for us. You know, here, just fix me, like just heal me, tell me, just do it. And it's like, no, there's so much more of a commitment that needs to be made on the part of the individual. You know,
absolutely. That goes back to that, like you said, commitment, the dedication, that grittiness to like, I'm going to heal. I don't care if I have to like cross the finish line, white knuckling it, crawling, you know, it's like that. It's like, I am going, like you said, our loved ones in spirit, they want us to live our lives to the fullest. And that really resonated because for so long I was like suffering, right, with my first experience. And I was, you know, settling for this relationship that was like, it was very traumatic and it was abusive. And it was a living hell. And it got to the point where I was like not taking any responsibility and life was really, really dark. And my loved one he came in a dream and it was no judgment, but it was just like, what are you doing with this guy? Like, this is you're not the person I know. Like, you have more potential than this. Like, you always had a plan. You always knew where you were going. And now all of a sudden you're lost. Like, what's going on here? And it really snapped me awake where I was like, literally, I left that marriage 2 weeks later and went into the military. And I was just like, what am I doing here? You know, he's right. Like, what is going on with me? Like, I've been asleep and just letting my life, like I was just like a zombie kind of walking through life. And it was about taking responsibility. And when you take responsibility, wow, the floodgates kind of open up for you and life becomes amazing again. It comes into like Technicolor, like in The Wizard of Oz again. Mm-hmm. And I always say, if I would have known, I was so fearful at that time. And if I would have known what I knew on the other side of that, I would have went into the military much sooner. I would have left that relationship much sooner. But sometimes you have to learn the hard way. But our loved ones, they're standing on the sidelines watching us. And like you said, wanting us to live our most creative expressions. Can you imagine how helpless in a sense they must feel looking through the glass and trying to get through to you to say, wake up? You know,
I think about that all the time because I put myself in the position of somebody in the spirit world. Say, you know, you're a mother and you're passed to the spirit world and you're watching your children. I just can't imagine the level of frustration every once in a while they must feel when they just want you to see the truth. They just want you to see so much more is available to you. And all of this, you know, angst and pain and the things that we experience here, like, yes, of course, we do have to experience some of that, but it does not have to be as difficult as we make it. I really believe that it can be easier. You know, we can experience life in a different way.
Absolutely.
So I totally get what you're saying with that. What about inspiration? Like, what really inspires you?
It's fluid. It changes with every year. Sometimes I find myself being so inspired just by nature and feeling small. I mean, you know, that saying, like, if you don't feel small standing beside the ocean, then something's wrong, you know? So I like nature. I grew up really, really musical and really into the arts. So I go to museums to be inspired. Fashion, I find myself, you know, like, it's nothing for me to buy an outfit and then take it to a tailor and say, okay, I want you to add this, I want you to cut this off, and really create something that I'm inspired to wear. And then, you know, the power that humans have just really fascinates the F out of me. Like, I'm just so fascinated by human beings and their behavior and their thoughts and just like, and how we can like change all that if they want to change it.
Right. Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. And what about, now this is a question that I know we were saying it could take a whole episode, but just a little bit, if we could delve into it, about money mindset and spiritual people, because so many listeners are studying the intuitive arts and healing or already doing their own spiritual business. And this seems to be an area that people do run into some challenges with.
For sure. So money is one of those topics that is so loaded with emotion and BS, which in my mind stands for belief systems and something else. Just use your imagination. For so many people, even if you're not in a spiritual business.
Yeah.
So when you add that layer of divine service to the mix, this bigger calling, this mission, this purpose, then it can get really complicated really quickly. And we're all kind of aware of archetypes of the past, like the starving artist or the traveling saint who's provided for by the community.
Right.
So there's just a lot of thoughts and ideas and beliefs that are so archaic that really need to be cleaned out because it's a modern day. And I believe that we live in a time where everyone's service is divine. Like, thank God the person who knows how to help my tooth stop aching is here charging their service, you know? And it's like, as a spiritual business, we are just as valuable as the dentist, the doctor, the psychologist, the attorney. Like, we're all in service to heal the suffering of the people that desire to purchase our services and products.
Right.
You know, I hope that we're charging for our education, our expertise and experience, but also the transformation that we are providing.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah. So the like money, you know, and this is where my spirituality gets pretty grounded. Money, like, we forget that we agreed that we all wanted money, like, to trade. Right. And so that we weren't fighting and over, you know, bargaining and all this stuff. So money was just an easy way to kind of clean it all up. And we're here on earth. Money's the currency. And it's just another energy to play with in this realm of creation and experience. And we are energy workers. So how fun is that, that we can also learn to create and play with this type of energy? Like, we can bring our spirituality to the ground.
Right. Definitely. And it is so, I think, so psychological in many cases. And there is so much around this sort of like lack mentality, you know, and that scarcity. And so I find for people that have any hangups with money or finances, when you kind of do any kind of spiritual development, especially when you get into mediumship and working with, you know, that kind of thing, you're looking inward, you're doing all of that stuff. Of course, it's going to come up. You know, of course, there's going to be something that occurs where you'll have an opportunity to heal it. You'll have an opportunity to look at it.
For sure. I remember being at a mediumship conference and someone was speaking about pricing and they spoke about another medium's pricing. And I just observed And I thought, oh, that's why, you know, she's not making so much money, because of all the judgment wrapped up in what someone else is doing or not doing.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, it's always pointing us. Our reality is always pointing us right back to ourselves. Rather than looking out there, we've got to look in here.
Right.
So something I find really helpful for the listeners, if you want to learn more about your money, I know most of us are really well-versed in Abraham Hicks and Esther Hicks abundance teachings. But what really changed my mindset was a book called It's Not Your Money by Tosha Silver.
Yes, and I love that one. Yes, definitely.
And The Soul of Money by Lynn Twist. So cool. I hope your listeners can find something helpful there.
Definitely. I'm going to check out the second one you mentioned, because I've read that one, but I recommend It's Not Your Money to people often, because it is. It's powerful. And I think it's important to look at it. You know, it's definitely important to look at our beliefs in that way, for sure.
For sure.
What about grief? I mean, what would you recommend for those listening that are grieving right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I'd recommend, when it's really new, nothing replaces getting a therapist or a hypnotherapy. I love mediumship, but I love it for a little bit further out when it's not so raw.
Yeah.
Grief is a really deep and personal journey that just cracks you open to the rawest place of your being. And this is pretty raw for me still. I'm 38 years old. I've had 3 major romantic relationships in my life where I fell completely in love. And 2 of those men are deceased now. And my ex-husband recently passed away. And so it's very raw still.
Yeah.
And what I want my people to know is, it feels lonely, even when it's not the truth. And quite frankly, there is a lot of BS belief systems out there that are not worth listening to.
Mm-hmm.
So many belief systems about how you'll never love again, or you'll never be whole again, or how much time it takes or won't take. And my advice is to just listen to what brings you comfort in the moment, but being gentle and fluid enough to know that your belief may change someday, and that's okay. My coach, Stacey Bayman, says, nothing has gone wrong here. And I love that saying. It's our judgments that keep us stuck. And there is literally no thing wrong with changing your mind now or later to feel better.
Beautiful. Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. There's something, I think, freeing in the grieving process, because it does force you in a lot of ways to really, really go deeper and deeper into what you believe to be true, who you are as a person. I think sometimes it's a catalyst for great change for us to look at ourselves and think, what do I want the rest of my life to be? You know, like, what do I want actually to create in this life? And how do I honor this love? How do I honor these people that may be physically gone, but they remain such a huge part of us, you know, such a huge part of who we are. So I think, yes, being gentle and being open to this being what it's going to be for you. And it could be so, so unique and different than what it is for someone else. So I love what you're saying there.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thing I would really be curious about is your advice for someone who is just starting out on a healing journey, or just starting out to really look at their own spiritual development. Like, what would you say?
Mm-hmm. I would just say, be willing, gentle, courageous. I think it takes absolute courage to be willing to look inside first, and be uber curious with yourself as you find your way. Mr. Rogers' mother said, look for the helpers. You'll always find people who are helping. And I would say, even when it's scary, even when you have to pay for it. Like, it's scary to invest in yourself, but you will learn so much. You will change so much, you know, not feeling the need to do it all in a year. I know that I've been on this journey my whole life looking back, but really dedicated the last 6 or 7 years, and I'm nowhere done, you know? So it takes time to process all of these thoughts, emotions, teachings, and implement them. And so just be gentle with the, like, the journey is so worth it regardless of the time it takes. So just start.
Yeah. I think that's beautiful. And it's true. The courage is required, you know? So it's like, I'm starting before you feel 100% ready, like, you know, really, really starting where you are, you know, with what you have. And it is scary. I think sometimes people are afraid to fail. They're afraid that, you know, also it feels almost in some ways selfish. You know, some people feel that they're being selfish by, you know, investing in their own spiritual development or their own healing. And it's one of those things that is such an amazing investment to make in yourself. Anytime you can invest in your soul, I would say, like, just do it. You know, there's always going to be a benefit for you there. So
yeah,
that's amazing. So where can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook or Instagram at Erica Antonetti, or in my Facebook group, The Alchemy Cave, or at my website, ericaantonetti.com. That's spelled ericaantonetti.com.
Beautiful. So I'll add that to the show notes so people can see that and find you there. And I would just say thank you so much for sharing all of this amazing wisdom and your energy with us. I really, really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. And thank you. I cannot thank you enough for having me on here. This was so much fun. I love it.
It's a wonderful chance to chat and catch up, but also I really know that this conversation will be meaningful to people, to, you know, that are listening, and there's so much inspiration in there with what you've shared. So many, many thanks, and yeah, just take good care.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.